Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of God here this morning and to hear. I had to think of that last verse in Philippians 3. It said that that we could be transformed from this vile body into the glorious body of Christ. I believe that's what it said here. Yeah. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I'm blessed by that thought. That is kind of coincides here with the message the Lord has given me this morning. Up there at Concord, I've been going through maybe a short series of messages on the church, or I titled it, the first message was, how then is the church to function? And then we talked about, you know, a group of believers being born again by the Spirit of God and coming together, and then and that they need to be built on it on the right foundation, which there's no other foundation except Jesus Christ. And then the next message was on the church as a building. You kind of look at that principle. It's a building that is a building that is building. If you know, it's a verb. It's a noun and a verb. A building where people gather, but they build. That's what the body of Christ. And then the third message I had was on the body of Christ. And I would like to share that today here. Just some things that, looking into the Word of God again on that, I believe that the Lord has changed my thinking in some of that, and trust that I could see that in just a little bit different light than I have been up to this point. So for our text this morning, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before we do that, I'd like to have a word of prayer, just to that the Lord would be glorified today. Let's just bow our heads here. Yes, Lord, we come before you this morning. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, your divine plan for us, Lord. I know that we as men fumble around and we stumble, Lord. It's very reassuring and comforting that we can look to your word again and gain some renewal and be refreshed in heart and mind and spirit. And Lord, as we look at your word today, Lord, I pray that you might just, that we as a group of brothers here could just be objective and hear what the word would say to the church today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we'd not have our mind on the messenger, Lord, but the message of the word of God. Lord, I pray for my own heart that it would be at peace here, and every heart that's gathered here, Lord, first of all, that they would find that peace of God through Jesus Christ, that it would be shed abroad among us. Lord, I pray that we could be, for all the young people, Lord, the children, Lord, that they might see among us as elders and fathers and mothers, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength despite the trials and afflictions and things that we might be tested by, Father, that we could be, that our children would be witnesses of an overcoming joy among us as brethren. Lord, that we not be discouraged in these latter days that we live in, Father. We know that we face a mighty enemy, Lord, that is out to seek, to kill and destroy and to steal the very souls among us, Lord, and around us. And Lord, I pray against him in the name of Jesus Christ today, Lord, that you would render him ineffective here among us today, Lord. I pray that we might lay aside the cares of last week and the cares of the coming week and the natural things, Lord, that we could gather here in meekness and humility and worship you in spirit and truth and listen to what the word says to the church today, Lord. We do thank you. And Lord, I pray that the meditations of our heart and that they might be acceptable in thy sight today, Lord. Not that we don't want to speak any high and mighty things, Lord, but I pray that we could be simple concerning the things of you. We thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's many scriptures that teach us that the body of Christ, the church, is the body of Christ. And this morning, as I considered some of those things, I just had to consider that God is, he's very beautiful. He's a God, his heart is toward us, in that he gave us a plan that, and how the church should function with each other. And he set forth an example of our physical bodies. And the beautiful part of that is that we use our physical bodies each day so that we can have a kind of a clear view of how God's desire for the church to function and grow together. That's and God was faithful in that he made it that we would have this witness when we walk around of how that God delights in a oneness. You know, there's one body, and that is, you know, sometimes some of these things are hard in the fact that we I don't believe that we see this picture clear enough, in that if we would seek to have the mind of Christ with our whole heart, that there would be unity like God delights in. You know, minds coming together under the power of the Spirit of the living God, that would be unity, that the church would go forth in power and in truth. So I thought maybe I don't want to be too graphic here today or anything. I pondered maybe that this might not be the right thing to do here. But I had some posters made that I thought would help us all here today, just to see God's heart for the body of Christ. I hope you can bear with me here. It's not, it's nothing new, but sometimes when we see these things, we take another look at it. And I hope that's the case here today. I guess you can all see that. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and maybe we can read a few scriptures there. And the heading of that chapter is that the spiritual gifts are diverse, yet all to profit with all. And to that end are diversely bestowed of God for the general good of each of us in the body. So beginning in verse, let's move down there a little bit. I think we should work in, beginning in verse, let's just begin in verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everybody, or with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, dividing to every man in a little different capacity, as the Spirit wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Some questions. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the bodies of Christ. Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of divine miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So those are some things that I, as the body came together, you know, I believe that when men are born again, you know, they're like babies. When a baby comes to, you know, that comes into this world, the body is there, the body, but it has a lot of feeding and a lot of nurturing and a lot of growing to do. And, you know, and the thing of it is, I realize that we must be born again to make an entrance into the kingdom of God or into the body of Christ. But we can't remain babes. You know, God's heart is that we grow to maturity, to come to his fullest operating power in the church. You know, that God wants a church that that's operating at his divine capacity. And that's where I think we can learn today. You know, there's a verse in prophesied in Isaiah 62:3 about the church. I'd like to read that. And the thing that I see here, as I considered this morning, that the church was born. It was God's divine plan. The church was born, and he did not. You know, there hasn't been anything like it up to that point. There may have been similar types, but nothing like that, the fullness of the church, and there never will be nothing like that again. It is the last church. In Isaiah 62, 3, it says, for Zion's sake, verse 1, will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. That is the church. I looked up a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. A royal diadem is a figuration of jewels in a crown. That's what God called the church, a ring of jewels around a crown, a royal diadem. And then there's, in the church, there's a time of growing. There's a few scriptures that point to that. First of all, I'd like to just read the scriptures that Paul reminded of the oneness of the body of Christ. In Romans 12, 4 and 5, it says, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. 1 Corinthians 10, 17, For we, being many, are one bread, and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Ephesians 2, 16, And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 4, 4, There is one body, there and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Colossians 3:15, And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Ephesians 1:23, Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's almost like redundant here, but I think Paul wanted to emphasize that to every church he addressed. Then we move on to that Paul encouraged these churches that they were called to strive to grow together. In Ephesians 2:22 it says, In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Then we're called, he also in that oneness, he calls us to unity. He says that in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:13, that was He tells us here that till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he gives us some exhortations to unity, some scriptures here that would exhort us. He said, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That was 1 Corinthians 1:10. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Ephesians 4, verse 3, Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Philippians 1:27, Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In 1 Peter 3:8, it says, Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So those are just some very familiar words. But I had to look at this in my own life. Have I lost my view of the body of Christ? Or have I lost my reverence? Or have I lost that zeal or that love for the church, the body of Christ? I always appreciate, you know, Dale Heise said down there that one message he said, in life, be careful what you say about the church. Be careful what you say about the church. So as we look at some of these things, God, as time goes on, he gives us a body, and we know that as time goes on, that our physical bodies, there's things happen to them. they grow weaker. They get older, they grow weaker. And we might break a limb here or a leg there, or we might break a finger, or our eyesight might be failing. Our hearing might not be hearing so well anymore. And our smelling, we're not smelling things clearly. Maybe our eyes need to be anointed with eye salve. Things that, you know, there's all kinds of pain that the body suffers in life. There's heart disease, lung problems, physical ailments of every kind, mental pain and challenges, disease and sickness, broken bones, bruises, cancer. Those things that give us a type of a body that has parts that fail, parts that grow weak. And we all know that. But the beautiful part of it is God has, He has designed a body that has healing capacities within itself. There's, you know, the body is very unique in the fact that it can heal itself. There's nothing like it. You know, when a board breaks, the board's broke. It can't heal itself. Anything else, you take most things, the living creatures that have a heart and lungs, God has given them the ability to heal themselves. But, you know, there's like, I'm just thinking here with all the ailments that go wrong, there's times when the body needs to see a physician. How many of you in here haven't been to a doctor? I bet everybody has at least one time or another. And as we look at God has designed that the body of Christ is also able, through its many members, able to function and to heal itself when the troubles come. When the sicknesses come. And there comes a time when our own bodies, we need revival. We need refreshing. We need a restoration. We need refining. We need reproof. We need convictions. We need repentance, maybe, for some wrong thinking. You know, in my own heart, I had to think of some of the things that the Lord has changed my mind on. You know, like we come from the Amish, and we had this rebellious heart that, somewhat rebellious in the fact that we decided that we probably didn't need leadership in the church. Is that cleared away? You know, have we laid that aside and seen the Word of God in it? That's for my own, I'm speaking to myself here. And maybe something that we picked up that we don't have any responsibility. It's just, here it is, take it, and live as you will. It's free. Those are some things that I believe that we need to take another look at. That God would have us come to repentance on those areas. And I'm speaking, first of all, I'm speaking to myself. I'm not, you know, that's just, I had to look at my own life. And with the body of Christ, there's, God has, you know, there's a maintenance required. There is take a look at our physical bodies, we need to have food and water every day. Food and water, you know, we could liken that to the spiritual bodies of a daily maintenance of the bread of life, the water of life, to praise and worship. How diligent are we in our devotions? You know, that is where the life comes from when we exercise our members. And the thing that, another thing that I've seen in our physical bodies is the help that God has designed within the body, that our members help one another. You know, I had the happening, I don't want to call it a misfortune, but I believe through God God has showed me things in a little clearer way. I broke my arm here in it was September, Labor Day, 1st of September. And, of course, I suspected that it was broke, but I waited a little bit, and I finally went to a doctor, and he said, yes, it is broke. But the bones are lined up. It should be okay. He gave me a splint. I had my left ulna was broke right here. It was a clear line right through it. That'd be the inside of the bone here in the skeleton. And then there's a thing. The thing that I see, though, in that was when the X-ray was laid out in front of me, I didn't question it. The picture showed clearly that the bone was broke, even though I couldn't see it on the outside. I just accepted it because he had the proof. He had the proof, and I didn't. However, I could have refused that and say that, well, I want to see another doctor. And then we'll go from there. But what I'd like to encourage us is in that when a brothers and sisters, you were called in the church to admonish one another. And you know, if it's valid, we need to be serious about it. You know, I could have ignored that doctor and said, let's let it go. It'll be fine. It'll get better. But that would have been denying the truth on my part. So I say that when the body has to be able to admonish one another, and that when we receive some admonishment or direction, that we would in kindness and patience see if it's valid in the Word of God. And then if it is, try to make some changes. Because this is what I see, that the bodies, you know, the body of Christ, the scriptures that stick out to me here this morning, now I'm not going to cover all these, but let's just envision this body back here with 14 hands, you know. Would that be able to function the way God designed it? Or I see here is that the body, God gave us this picture here to see how that the church should function. And what I see clearly is that there's no schism in the body. Every muscle is where it needs to be. It's connected to, every muscle has tendons on their ends that connect, that are grown fast to the bone. I don't mean to give a lesson in health here, but I think it's vital. And then these muscles are attached to the uncomely part, our skeleton. And the beautiful part of all this is the fact that every one of you in this room is made up just that way. You didn't have a part in how God made you, but you had a part, you have a part in how that God wants you to function as this body. And the thing of it is, the verse that I have a question is, it says that God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. God put the right arm here and the left arm here. You see what I'm saying there? God put them there as it had pleased him. God put you here because it has pleased him. Are you pleased? You know, the question I have, are you pleased with where God has placed you today in this body? It pleased God to put the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. God was pleased. And I just had to look in my own life. Or am I complaining? I'd rather not be here. How funny would it be if my right arm would say that I'd rather be attached over here. Or my left leg would say I'd rather be over here. Those are just some thoughts I had. And then also, but I seen though, when my arm was broke, that the rest of the body stepped up. They looked out for this arm. My feet watched where they walked. And the thing of it was unconscious. I didn't want to bump into anything. It hurt. And they looked out for it. You know, my eyes watched where I went. My feet was careful not to stumble. I paid special attention to my arm because it was part of my body and it was hurting. And that is, you know, I think we need, you know, may the Lord, I want to be that I can, you know, I don't believe that we can be in a body and say that it's not vital that I'm here. God has placed you vitally here for life, for the body. He has placed you here. And, you know, there's things that, you know, I could have, the doctor, the next time I went to the doctor, he said, your bone did not heal, you need to have surgery. He said, it will not heal without surgery. And he said it with great confidence. I trusted him. He knew what he's talking about. It won't heal. So he said, you need to have surgery. Then it'll heal. And that's the way the body of Christ. Sometimes the hard things are for the health and benefits of the body. You know, the thing of it was, you know, my body, when my arm was broke, the rest of my body looked out for it. I didn't lift nothing with this. I couldn't. It hurt. I did it all with my right arm and my legs and my back and things. But it was a handicap. I was not able to operate in the fullest capacity that God had designed it. You see, the body, the scripture says in Ephesians that no man yet has ever hated his own body, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. And the body of Christ, you know, we long as humanity, I believe the whole world, and I don't believe that it's a carnal thought or a carnal way of thinking, but they desire to be healthy. They want the best of health. And among the Anabaptist people, that's one of their main focuses. I'm amazed at how that, you know, there's new fads and fashions. I'm speaking of the food and the health food industry and vitamins and minerals. And I mean, if it's new, it's in the Amish and the Mennonites. They got it. But they're looking out. They want good health, maybe to an extreme. But I believe that it's a right desire to have good health. You know, who don't want to feel right? And I also believe that we can get in a crutch where we never feel good. And always sick here, we can't do this and can't do that. But I believe that sometimes you just need to get on your feet and go. But even then, you know, we desire as a whole, we desire to be healthy. Do we have the same desire that the body of Christ is healthy? May we have that same desire that we have for our personal bodies to be healthy, that the body of Christ be healthy and functioning to its fullest capacity, that it's overflowing and running over. That is here. And then the next scripture I'd like to look at a little bit is we have sometimes our members feel that, or we feel about other members, I have no need of thee. We probably wouldn't say it in so many words, but I believe there's a spirit there that conveys that message that I have no need of my foot. Think about it. You know, do we want a body that is lamed and crippled, or do we want a body that's walking in its best that it can? The best that it can. You know, there's good things and there's excellent things. What do you want? But what it's teaching here, what I've learned, is that we must love one another, trust one another, depend on one another the way God would have it. You know, God is faithful. He gave us a simple understanding. This is the functioning of the body of Christ. You know, the body is very uniquely designed. It says the foot and ankle made up of 26 individual bones, but they're all in one foot. And up here, this bone around the back of your eye socket is formed by the junction of 7 bones. There's 29 individual bones in the skull. It's a marvelous thing. Those are just some things that, you know, reminded me. And, you know, the uncomely parts, all we see, our skin is on the outside. We don't see the muscle, but everybody knows it's right there. But in this capacity here is the heart and lungs and the brain, which is the head, a type of Christ, that the body receives all its instruction. Christ is the head. And in this body, there's a lot of diversity. But under all that diversity, there's a strong connection. A strong connection. The body is fitly framed together. You know, these muscles fit on these bones. And, you know, the rib cage is holding the heart and lungs. It's designed to fit in there. It's fitly framed. designed by God. That's why it works. That's why it fits. But the uncomely parts, you know, if we would look, you know, this doesn't look very appealing. And it would look worse if we'd have a view of the stomach and the heart and lungs. You know, there'd be blood and it wouldn't be very pretty. But are they vital? You know, that's what I think, that sometimes brethren in the congregation, you know, that are just there in support, in the direction of the body, how vital are they? May we bestow abundant honor upon those uncomely parts, the ones that are consistent, diligent. Because, you know, God hath tempered the body together. And, you know, when my arm was broke, the rest of my body jumped right in to supply what was lacking to my arm. And then that's the next thing that I'd like to say, is we can have, the doctor gave me the diagnosis. But the body had to heal from within. We can get all kinds of outside advice and counsel, but the body has to heal from within. I believe that's a principle in the body of Christ. It has to heal from within. There's another thing. When I had my surgery, they numbed my arm, or from here on down, and from my hip on down on my left leg here. And the thing that I saw there is that they were attached, but I couldn't do a thing with them. They were just they just hung there. They were just nothing. Because they put a nerve block in where the very life, the blood, they numbed that it couldn't send the message to my feet and legs, to my this arm and this leg. It was blocked, and it was, for a time, for 3 hours, it was useless. It was just, it was like that. Just a picture of the drag what that brought to the body, in the fact that they were not attached in spirit, but the body, they were there. Something to think about. Those are thoughts that I had, you know, just thinking of how the thing of... We want to look at is a few things here, is that to connection, what I see in all of this is connectedness. That's the underlying theme. Oneness. And the thing of it is, whenever these is not connected, you know, the body can, a joint can dislocate. Some of you have experienced that. But that's when it's out of order. It doesn't have the... it just don't work. When your shoulder's out, or your elbow's out, or your knee's out, you need to get something corrected. And so, connected and fitly framed together, you know, I want to... The definition of connection, it says the act of joining or state of being joined. You all know this, and I like to read it over. State of being knit or fastened together... Union by junction. Think of a plumber. He's got a bunch of 10-foot pipes. He's got to have a junction. Union by junction. By an intervening substance or medium. By dependence or relation. Or by order in a series. You know, a series of numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4. They're connected. A series. There is a connection of links in a chain. A connection between all parts of the human body, which we went across. A connection between virtue and happiness. There's a connection between this life and the future life. There's a connection between parents and children. There's a connection between master and servants. There's a connection between husbands and wives. There's a connection between motives and actions. There's a connection between actions and the consequences. There's everything is connected. And there's a... In Romans 14, we read at home this morning. I want to turn to them scriptures a little bit. It's Romans 15. Romans 15. Now the verse 5, Romans 15. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. A beautiful verse there. Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And then in verse 15, he says that, verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Those are just some principles that I see in the body of Christ. And, you know, there's... don't have a long message here today, but there's a few questions and thoughts for us to consider here. The first question is, for all of us in here, is the body of Christ a safe place for my foot to dwell? Do I find that the body, am I at peace with my brethren, or do I find that it's a safe haven here in the body of Christ? Is it safe for me? That's the first question. The next question is, from where does the body receive nourishment, advice, counsel? Where is the body to receive that? One thing it's very clear to me is that there is many opinions and much counsel and advice out there for the church from people that are not in the church. Will that bring health to the body? You know, someone that maybe is rebellious says that I don't want to join a body. There's nothing there but a bunch of hypocrites. And then we have a group that, or families, people that are uncommitted. They don't want to give their heart, their whole heart, to the body of Christ. And yet they have many opinions. I just say, be careful who you hear. Be careful where you get your advice and counsel. Then the next thing I see is that there's a tendency within the body to disqualify the body of any type of correction or advice, counsel, or admonishment. You know, I believe that, you know, within the body of Christ, there's brothers and sisters, brethren, as a whole, all of you, have a word of counsel and advice. May the body hear itself. The scripture teaches clearly that the body is to edify itself in love. So let's not, when a brother has a word of advice or counsel for me, that I don't look to disqualify him right away. That I might just quietly take heed. Because he's of my body. You know, the thing that I see, that if my foot tells my hand, you need to watch what you touch. I should hear my foot. You know, is that not, that's according to the word of God here. You know, in the verse that supports that is in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speak the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And the beautiful part that I have considered in along those lines is the fact that in every situation in life, most situations that you face in life, that if you look around, there's advice and counsel to be had that knows more about it than I do. That's the way I find it in my life. If I want to know something a little more about something that I have a question about, usually there's people around that are not very far away that I can call and ask. And they can inform me a lot more than I knew about it. But I see that as God designed the body of Christ, that help is very near. The helps of the body of Christ are within reach. They're not far from every one of us. If we have trouble in life, and believe me, brothers, there's trouble comes to the body of Christ. But by the same token, God has placed just enough help, or more than enough help, right beside you, if we're willing to humble ourselves and only ask. Something to think about. For my own life, how beautiful is it when you can call a brother and say, hey, I have this, and I know you've experienced something like that. Can you help me? That's beautiful. That's how God has designed the body to be helps that are very near and close. It's a beautiful thing. The next one for us to consider is how willing are we when asked of the body to preach? How willing are we to have a devotion? How willing are we to come to a prayer meeting midweek or Saturday morning? And the last, how willing are we to try? It's, you know, when the body asks of you something, are we willing to give it what we got? Even though we might have a small toe in our hearts of may we feel insignificant. Are we willing to give? Number four. These are just thoughts, and I'm not, you know. Are we willing to speak into and of obvious situations when necessary? Are we willing? Or are we? Would we rather just turn the other way? Another thought here. If the heart is failing, do we need to see a physician? Yes. The next, number five here is, do we agree with God that He was pleased to place you here? It pleased God to place but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Do we agree with God on that? In verse 21 and 22, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. The next question is, or the number six here, is do we sincerely believe that we do need one another in the body of Christ? Do we sincerely believe that I need you? You need me. That's among brethren, that we do need one another. And the thing of it is, there's an easy... I say it's a thought pattern that needs to be repented of, in that is that individualism that wants to creep into the body of Christ. Do we believe that I need my brothers? That I need to depend on them, and by the grace of God, that they're able to depend on me? Do we believe that we need one another? It's a big question. Because the tendency is to think that I can make my own way. I have the answers. I'm just speaking to myself. You know, there's I've come to appreciate you as brethren, and I know that I need you. And then moving on, verse 25, we talked about the comely parts. Verse 25, he says that there should be no schism in the body. I mean, that's, he didn't say a few or not too many, but none. No schism, no division in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. You know that I always go back to that verse in Ephesians 5 there that says that no man yet has ever hated his own body, his own flesh. Now ye are the bodies of Christ, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I believe that particular there, I was going to look that up and I never got to it, but it means that you are attached, you are, however small it may be, you are attached. You are a particular member. In other words, like I have, my foot has five particular toes. Now it has five particular toes. They're all attached, but they are particular. They're identified. They're all identified. The same way with the hand on my fingers. You know, they're particular fingers. You know, when I talk about my right pinky, everyone knows that that's the member there in particular. That's him. That's it. You are members in particular. In other words, he's saying here that you are necessary and vital. That's what he's saying. Members in particular. Those are some of the thoughts I had. I just thought I would, that came to my mind, to just have a few posters made that lays it out pretty clearly of how that there has to be a heart connection among brethren. And I believe that God would desire that we get there. He doesn't have, the beautiful part of about the Word of God, I don't believe that he ever lays out anything that is not possible. And then, but he gives us a plan for it. He gives us an outline, and he gives us our physical human bodies that we can look upon and say every morning, well, this is the way God wants the church to function. That's what he desires. And then, in all of this, Corinthians 12 is the chapter that precedes Corinthians 13. Think about it. It precedes 13. And who don't love Corinthians 13? I think we'll just read that in closing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then shall that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also, as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, I was just, you know, that was on my heart this morning. One thing I wanted to talk about just a bit, yet it came to mind as I was reading that, was that as the body of Christ, when I set out to do something, may we in meekness and humility consider how is this going to affect the body of Christ? How is it going to affect it? Is it going to edify it and encourage it and enhance it? Or is it going to be a load for it? And the Lord just, you know, in my life, you know, the things that I do, does that challenge the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters? Does that put a load on them that wouldn't have to be there? May we strive after that, that just to examine the things that we're doing and how that it might bring an increase to the body or make the body weary. That's my heart this morning. I'm just laying it out there. I don't, if there's something here that was not shared according to the Word of God or preached according to the Word of God, I would gladly be approached and consider what you brothers would have to say. And I ask that you would all pray for us as a family. It seems like I miss you all. We don't get down here like we used to. But I do delight in all of you and trust you as brethren. And I want to be a part of that body there. So may God bless you all.